to serve us at worship this morning. Special welcome to Ian Sinkinson, who's come from Hemingford Gray. He's the local MAF speaker, and we're very happy to have him with us to speak to us about MAF and to bring the Word of God to us this morning. Ben and I are particularly happy. In our 20 years in Madagascar, we flew, I don't know how many times, with MAF. They were a great help to us in the establishment of the hospital there and in just getting around, and continue to do a great work there today. So thank you very much for coming here, and we look forward to hearing everything from you. Next Sunday, we have Phil Thompson from War Boys, who's coming to speak, and we'll be very welcome to be there with him on that occasion. Let's start with a word of prayer. Let's start. Lord, how we thank you on this your day that we have the privilege of coming to you. Lord, you're the one who made the world. You're the one who made everything that we see around us. You're the one who gives it its beauty each day. You're the one who gives us the warmth of the sun, the rain from the clouds, Lord, the air that we breathe. We thank you that you are the one who looked down upon this world and saw us in our need and in our sin. And you didn't reject us, but you made a way. You sent your only Son. He came to be our Savior. He gave his life. He shed his blood. Lord, he made the way open that we can come into your very presence. And so we thank you that we can do that this morning. We come praying forgiveness. We pray that you will bring forgiveness for our sins, for our many failures. And Lord, that we might know that sweet presence of the Holy Spirit moving among us this morning. We pray that your word might be heard in the depths of our hearts and minds. Lord, that we might be stirred to love you more, to serve you more faithfully, to live more holy lives for you. We pray for our brother Ian, who has come among us. We thank you for him. Pray that your good hand might be upon him, that, Lord, you'll give him the words to speak, that it might be your voice that's heard. We pray that you will bless all that's done this day. Bless our friends around the world. We think of friends in MAF working in many countries, in some difficult places, but with many challenges. We pray that you might be with them as they take time today, especially to meet with your people and to worship you. We pray that your blessing then would be upon the whole of this service. And we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now he's going to read a hymn for us, and then it'll be over to you.
Thanks can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me? Who caused his pain? For me, who him to death pursued. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? 'Tis mystery all, the immortal dies. Who can explore his strange design? In vain the firstborn seraph tries to sound the depths of love divine. 'Tis mercy all, let earth adore. Let angel minds inquire no more. He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, entered himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. Long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eyes diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own.
Thank you, Keith, and thank you, David, for your introduction. And thank you for inviting me to speak here today. I'm a little bit nervous because I don't think your computer likes my presentation. I can't even see a... So I'm going to leave this up just to remind you what I'm talking about. Mission Aviation Fellowship. And it does what it says on the tin. It's a fellowship of Christians who use aviation and, in fact, some other technology in mission. And the vision of MAF is isolated people, physically and spiritually transformed in Christ's name. Perhaps I should just say a few words about me so you know where I'm coming from. My main career has been in the Royal Air Force, so I can spell aircraft, just. That's it really. That's the main qualification. Except that God called me. You can just make out on there the second slide, which is you have to take my word for it. It's a beautiful photograph of my wife and my stepson and myself standing outside the MAF hangar in Kenya. But how did we get to Kenya? I was brought up more or less as a Christian. I went to Sunday school. My parents weren't really strong Christians, but they sent me to Sunday school. And I knew the stories. And as I grew older, I knew the theology. But it really wasn't until I was just about 30 when that penny dropped from my head to my heart. And God really made an impact in my life at that time. And I thought, right, well, God's going to be calling me to something new now. I was serving in the RAF. I was an engineer officer. And I expected God to say, right, stop, come out and work for me. And he didn't. Probably just as well, because I had a lot to learn at that stage. But eventually, 10 years later, God spoke into my life and to my wife's life very clearly that we should work for him. So I resigned from the RAF and actually struggled to find a job. I was immensely qualified and I really felt that MAF would be begging for me. Or Tear Fund, or Save the Children Fund, or whatever. Actually, they weren't. We had a difficulty in the family. My father and my wife's father died quite close together. We couldn't leave the mothers on their own for a long time, so it really restricted what we could do. And eventually, I got a job at Tear Fund on the disaster response team. And that was good because I could do short-term, three-month, four-month jobs, and then come back home. And it was while I was working for Tear Fund in South Sudan, based in Nairobi, that I was tapped on the shoulder by Bernard Tiller, who was running the MAF program in Kenya, and said, we're going to start a program in South Sudan. Would you run it for us? Because I could spell aircraft and I knew where South Sudan was. So we prayed about it, and yes, that's what we were doing. And that's when I joined MAF in 2006. And we worked, first of all, out of Kenya into South Sudan, and then in South Sudan, and then since then I've run programs in Tanzania and Kenya, back into South Sudan. So I'm proud to stand here to talk about MAF, because I've been there, done it, and got several t-shirts. I think it's an amazing organisation. Go back to the vision. Three key elements: isolated people, transformed physically and spiritually in Christ's name. So let's talk about the isolated people bit to start off. What isolates people? Well, first of all, terrain isolates people. I want you to imagine Papua New Guinea. Very, very lumpy. Steep mountains, deep valleys, little communities on the top of the hills for their security. Their neighbours are maybe 2, maybe 3 days walk away. Until the aircraft arrived in Papua New Guinea, there were 2,500 different languages, and there were just tiny little communities, each with their own language, because they didn't mix. They couldn't mix because the terrain was so severe. That's isolation. And since the aircraft has come, and MAF has come in particular, into Papua New Guinea, people are connected, people feel part of not just their own tiny community, but a wider national community, and they're hearing the gospel, and lives are being transformed. Another form of isolation is just bad infrastructure. It's a pity. I've got this beautiful photograph of this road in Tanzania. And the Land Rover is coming towards us, and it's up to the bonnet in water. Fortunately, this Land Rover has a high-level air intake, so it can keep going. But that completely isolates communities. And you must have seen it in Madagascar, when these clay roads are just made into quagmires. MAF serves, if you can do something about that, that'd be brilliant. MAF serves lots of communities like that, isolated by just terrible roads for 6 months of the year. Another form of isolation is distance. That's the one. Brilliant, thank you so much. I have another story about Land Rovers on bad roads. In Liberia, travelling along the main road, to find, we come over a hill, look down into the valley, and it's just a lake. But we're okay, we've got Land Rover. So on we plod. We moved all our wet stuff, our precious stuff, up, out of our pockets up onto the roof, and we stormed off into this flood. Halfway through the flood, just as the water's starting to come over the bonnet, we realised that this was the Land Rover that didn't have a high-level air intake. And it stopped in the middle. Now, fortunately, some guys from the local village came and pushed us out. But it just highlighted to us, for people who don't have a high-level air intake Land Rover, who don't have a Land Rover, who don't have a bus, how difficult it is to get back and how much they're isolated. Distance. Now, next one, please. This is Mongolia. That road you can see cutting across there actually isn't a road, it's a pipeline. Vast distances, just separating people, keeping them isolated. Next one, please. natural disasters. This is a bridge swept away by a flash flood. And we've seen that in this country, haven't we? And it means that people have got to make a detour of 10 miles. Not here. This is DRC, and the next bridge is 50 miles down the river. People cut off from their family, people cut off from medical aid, people cut off from their churches. Isolated people, they're the people that MAF actually is providing a bridge for, an air bridge, to overcome the barriers that are separating people and bring them into community. Thank you. As an ex-RAF, I have to talk about the aircraft. I'm sorry, this is the technical bit. This is the Cessna Caravan, E208, in Mongolia. The Caravan is the workhorse of MAF. Excellent aeroplane. Turbo prop engine. Carries about 14 people or 1 ton of freight. Very good range, very sturdy, very strong, and really important for us, very reliable. The engine just keeps going and going and going. Of course it needs maintenance, that's why we have our engineers, but it's just a brilliant aeroplane, really is. Quite old now, but we're still using them and there's lots of life left in them. Thank you, next one. This is the newest aircraft on the fleet, it's a Kodiak. It's designed specifically for the sort of work that we do. Short takeoff, short landing. You can see the undercarriage from there. Very sturdy. And it needs to be. Next, please. This is an airstrip in Papua. I'd be scared stiff landing on a place like that. But that's the only way you can get to the community. So our pilots have to be very skilled. They go through the normal flight training and then they go through special flight training. So they can operate in these sort of conditions. And not everybody can do it. Lots of airline pilots know not the sort of thing that they're used to. Our pilots operate single pilot operation, so all the judgments are down to them, so they have to be highly trained, and the regulatory system that they fly in is exactly the same as it is for your 737 pilot when you go off on holiday. We have the same rules, which operating the same rules in a condition like this, you can see, could be some difficulties. So while I was in the RAF, there was always some tension between engineers and pilots. MAF, I've got to take my hat off them. They do some brilliant stuff, really hard work. With no stewardesses or stewards to help them, they do the loading, they do the unloading, they check the passengers in, they check the passengers out, they talk to air traffic control if there is any, strip like this, if there isn't any. They really work very hard. Thank you. You recall when John sent his disciples to Jesus to ask him, is he the Messiah? And Jesus says, well, what do you see? This is what I see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. I can't claim to have seen any people raised from the dead in mass service, but all the others I have. Next, please. We don't do it on our own. These are just some of our partners. You'll recognise a lot of those names. And there's a lot that aren't on there. Local NGOs, local government, national government. We've worked with all of those to bring Christ to people. We see ourselves, if you like, as the donkey that carried Jesus into Jerusalem. We take Jesus where he needs to go. Thank you. This is my team in Kenya. Of course, we can't do it without people. But I'll come back to them later. Next slide, please. Just to give you some examples of the work that Matt is doing. They're focused quite largely on Africa because that's where I've worked, so that's where I've got the photos. But this is in Juba, in South Sudan. And our staff here is loading onto the caravan this plumpy nut. Do you like the word plumpy nut? I love it. It's a peanut butter based with lots of additives for children to help them gain weight and to pull them out of malnutrition. So this is the load being prepared to go to a place called Malualcon, which is in the top left-hand corner of South Sudan, about 2.5 flying hours away from Juba. Next, please. They're going to go to a feeding centre run by Tear Fund, it's really to drag children out of malnutrition. At one stage, we were seeing 60% of under fives with malnutrition. It's better than that now, but probably still 30%. So the mothers bring their children and to assess them whether they're malnourished or not, they're first of all weighed, as you can see here. The kids love being weighed, swinging around in the little harness like that. The next bit they don't like, where they have to lie on their back to measure their length. The southern Sudanese are normally very long and very narrow, but their height is measured against the weight, and that's compared to the UN chart, which shows whether or not they're malnourished. If they're malnourished, next one please, they're given a little plumpy nut sachet, and the mother will take 2 weeks' supply of these sachets, for two a day, for the kids. And you can see that the mother's just squeezing it into the child's mouth. I love it. It is delicious, and the children love it too. But you'd be amazed at the change you see in the children. In 2 weeks, they're already plumper. And in 4 to 6 weeks, they are off the malnourished list. Unfortunately, once they're off the malnourished list, then the mothers stop feeding them and they go back onto the list. But it's little lies changed. I don't know whether you've seen malnourished children, maybe on the television. It's awful to see them. They're skinny, lifeless, often with bloated tummies, and to see them change from that to a healthy running round little child is brilliant. Thank you. Next. This is northwest Kenya, the Rendili region. It's dry, it's hot. The Rendili are a tribe of pastoralists, so they move around with their flocks of camels and donkeys and goats. Life is very hard, but next slide. These are the Rendili ladies, and they are celebrating. It is extremely noisy, but in spite of the hardship of their life, they are celebrating. I wonder if you could guess what they're celebrating about. Sorry,
Bible translation. Bible translation.
Yes, you've been cheating. Next slide. They're celebrating because of what's in these boxes, And these boxes contain Rendili New Testaments. A process that started in 1981, finished here in 2018 with the first Rendili New Testaments. And we had the privilege of flying those Bibles up to the Rendili people, along with lots of people from around the world who have been involved with various stages of the translation. But yeah, what a privilege. Brilliant. Thank you. Next. Not just communities, but individuals. This is perhaps the smallest individual I'm aware of that's flown with Matt. You can just see lying on the stretcher there, this tiny baby who is being flown to hospital for emergency treatment. One life saved, one life transformed. Thank you. This is Joseph and Adam. And they are loading onto a caravan some well drilling equipment for MEDAIR. MEDAIR is a Christian organisation doing relief work in South Sudan. Next one. This is where they're flying to. This is the River Nile over on the right hand side of the picture. It's flat. It's as flat as the Fens, and it goes on for hours and hours. Huge area, and for part of the year it floods completely. The Nile just covers the whole area. MEDAIR are flying up to a place called Ulang to do some drilling to provide clean water. Thank you. As you approach Ulang over the River Nile, you are reminded by this wreck that it's a conflict zone. South Sudan has been plagued with conflict for decades. Next, thank you. And this is Ulang. This is a refuge place, really, for people fleeing from the fighting. These are the huts you can see that the people live in. Lots of water around, but it's all polluted and dirty. They have to dig down to about 50 metres below the surface to get clean water. And that transforms their lives. Having clean water just makes such a difference. Thousands of children die because of bad water. So it's a huge job that MEDAIR are doing. The little grass huts you can see there, this must be the winter time, because in the spring, the ladies, it's a woman's job to thatch the huts. They cut the fresh reeds from the river, and they're golden. And as you fly over the villages at that time of year, it's like little golden bells. Lovely. But tragically hard for the people living there. They've been marginalised for centuries, at last they're having some relief from that. And having the Word of God brought to them as well by the church in South Sudan is great. Thank you. This is an eye clinic in Tanzania, run by CBM. We've flown the CBM staff, that's Christian Blind Mission. We've flown their surgical team in, and they will get through probably hundreds of operation in a couple of days. And at the end, when everyone's gone, all that's left is sticks. Being blind in Africa is bad news. You can't work, you're regarded as useless, you're marginalised even within the family. These people are having their lives transformed. But this picture always reminds me of another village in Tanzania where we took a dentist. We normally took a doctor, but the doctor couldn't come, but the dentist said he'd come, so we brought a dentist. And we weren't expecting too much. And we arrived at the village and said, well, sorry, no doctor, but we've got a dentist. If you'd like to stay, the dentist will see you. Everybody stayed. They had never seen a dentist in their lives. It was horrible. I sat with the dentist where he carried out 40 extractions. That's all he could do, just extractions. He had Novocaine, but the Novocaine was fine if you had a problem at the front of your mouth, but if you had a deep root, I saw people in such agony. But at the end of the day, they were thanking the dentist because these dreadful, rotted teeth that he'd taken out were in the past. Tomorrow they would feel better, the next day they wouldn't feel any pain, and that would be it. They'd been suffering pain in their mouths for years. Just transforming lives, thank you. This is not the A14 during construction. This is the main road from Monrovia to Zwedru, which is a place tucked away in the jungle in Liberia. This looks bad. I've actually got a photograph at home of me standing on the side of the road with one foot, and the other foot is resting on the top of my Land Rover in a hole. This isolates people. Next thing. This is Kim Smith. He runs this Word Sower Bible Institute in this town called Zwedru. It's completely surrounded by jungle, and he's training pastors not only theologically, but also to do practical stuff to help the communities that they're going into. And he arranged for some dental specialists to come up and do some training. While they were there, they found two really serious cases. One was Blessing, who was an 11-year-old girl, had an infection in the bone of her jaw. And they were able to do some remedial work, but really she needed to go and have an x-ray and have specialist treatment for it. Another guy called Mark, who had this enormous growth on his jaw. Next one, please. That you can see that the growth on the side of Mark's face. A little girl in green. This is just before they boarded the aircraft to go down to Monrovia. Both of them had treatment. Both of them are cured. Both of them are back in Zwedru. Next one, please. I put this one up again because Mark, when he finished his treatment, had to go back to Zwedru. He went back by road. It took him 3 hours. Sorry, 3 days. The aircraft takes 1 hour 15 minutes to cover the same distance. That's the blessing that we're able to bring. Oh, I hated that road. We had when I was with Tear Fund in Liberia, we had a project to build schools or rebuild schools all the way along this road. And for 6 months of the year, it was like this. It was trying to carry building materials up a road like that. It was an absolute nightmare. However, it did bring a blessing. Next, please. Right, this is the team. This is typical of a MAF team. It's quite a large MAF team because the Kenya program then was quite large. This was in 2014. A mixture of people. We've got African people. On the team there were Kenyans, of course, because we were in Kenya, but we also had Tanzanians, people from South Sudan, even someone actually from Sierra Leone. And they are salaried staff, and without them we couldn't do the work. But you'll also see some white faces dotted among there. These are the expatriate staff that we have to have as team members because of the skills that they've got. There are pilots in Kenya, but pilots in Kenya are paid so much that getting them to come and work for us on a much lower scale is very difficult. So we have pilots from Europe, we have logisticians, we have engineers, to supply the skills that we can't find locally. And all those people, all the expatriates, before they go out onto their program, they have to raise their own support. So it's friends, families, churches, not insignificant. 30-odd thousand maybe for a big family, maybe 26, 27 for a single person. And when you start, you know, having done it, I know, it seems an enormous mountain to climb, to raise that much money. But you know, if God's called you to do it, God supplies. And it's amazing how the money comes in. So that applies to all that. Just a wonderful team. This was on an away day that we had in 2014. Expats from Finland, Holland, Switzerland, Germany, France, UK, all mixing together. And you may appreciate the cultural difference between the individual European countries is as great as the cultural difference between us and the African people. From a management point of view, sensitivity, which I don't have, would have been a great blessing. But a great team, all working together to carry Jesus' mission into Africa. Thank you. This is the Brown family. It was Ken, Maz, Mafanwi, Edie and Elijah. They arrived on the MAP program just as I was leaving. Ken is an accountant and was the program finance manager. Did a great job. The kids went to work to school in Nairobi. Maz had a job doing something, I can't remember what she was doing. They are now coming to the end of their tour there after 7 years. So looking for a new job for Maz and for Ken, schooling for the kids, an enormous change for them. So I do commend them to your prayers. Next one, please. I know now, because I've done this talk a number of times, I know that by now you are gagging to know how you can be involved. Just go on to the next one, would you? Yeah, be part of something bigger. I'm not saying go overseas again or for the first time to serve at MAF, but there are other stuff you can do. Next, please. Yeah, you can pray. Please pray. The aircraft run on aviation fuel, as you'd expect. But the programs run on prayer. Please do pray. Pray, please, next for the our staff, local and expatriate, in our programs overseas, who have taken Jesus' direction to go literally, have given up their lives in their homeland and gone out for Jesus. Not an easy job. They need your prayers, because all the pressures that you get as a family in the UK happen overseas as well, but you're in a different culture, different atmosphere, different weather. The whole thing makes it much more difficult. Thank you. Pray for our staff in the UK. We have two staff locations. Ashford in Kent is where our operations are based. They write the manuals for our pilots, for our aircraft. They recruit people. They train people. They control the operations around the world. Next. We also have in Folkestone, Kent, is Matthew Kay. They fundraise, and there are a number of different agencies like MAF Germany, MAF Finland, all around Europe, raising money, recruiting people to join MAF. And pray for the people in the organisations that we serve. People are doing an amazing job around the world. And they need to. Next, please. You can journey with us. You don't have to go anywhere, but you can still journey with us. If you sign one of these forms today, Matt will send to you over the next year some of these booklets, which will show you the different programs around the world. So you can just be engaged with Matt. Costs nothing, but we'd love to have you join. Next, please. A lifetime beyond your lifetime. You might have to think about a bequest to Math in your will. Thank you. And if you're really enthusiastic, you can do some fundraising for us. If you feel led to that, then please speak to me afterwards. Next, please. This is Jesus' mission statement. I'm just going to pinch these. Thank you. Anointed Jesus to proclaim good news to the poor, sent him to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free. Very familiar with us, isn't it? That's what Jesus is set out to do. And Math sets out to do that as the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. But there's a bit of a way to go. Next, please. There are still millions of mainly women and girls walking lots of kilometres to find clean water.
Yeah.
And some of them walking lots of kilometres to find not so clean water. Next. There are still people illiterate around the world because the education systems aren't reaching them. Next. There's still people, millions of people, displaced from their homes, living in famine conditions, queuing up as these ladies are to get food at a refugee camp. I do like the green bucket that's on someone's head as a hat. But dreadful conditions. This is Somalia. Thank you. Conflict everywhere. There are still young lives being ruined by what they call low-level conflict, tribal conflict. In South Sudan when I was there, a lady married someone from the next door clan, but someone who wanted to marry her and couldn't decided to come to the wedding with this Kalashnikov and kill some people. The result of that was 200 people died in that conflict over 3 days. That's a Kalashnikov that this handsome guy is holding. They're all over the place. It's ruining lives. Next, please. And Lebanon, shattered lives. It's dreadful. And it's easy to despair, isn't it? We see all this on our televisions and in our newspapers. When is it going to end? But we shouldn't despair, because we're not called to despair because we have a hope. Thank you. Next. Oh, I should have seen this one. This is the mess we've made of this beautiful world that God's given us. Yeah, this makes me sigh as much as all the others. Thank you. The next one. But we have two promises. Well, we've got more than two. This is just two of them. That should give us hope for the future and a confidence. Isaiah 11:4-9. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and the little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand into a nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with the people who know the Lord. And then in Revelation, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the spring of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." I think they're beautiful and wonderful promises, and they will come to pass. But we can't just wait until God does it. God expects us to take part in his creation and his restoration. There's a line in that movie, the best exotic Marigold Hotel. I don't know whether you've seen it. But I love this line. "Everything will be all right in the end. And if everything is not all right, then most assuredly, it is not the end. God has the end in his hand. In the meantime, we're called to do our part." And on that note, let me finish by praying. And I'm going to pray using the words of a song by Graham Kendrick. So I just invite you to tune your hearts into Graham Kendrick's words. So, dear loving Heavenly Father, you promise us beauty for ashes. We see the ashes of our world around us. We pray for ourselves and for our damaged world. Please, Lord, bring us beauty for brokenness. Bring us hope for despair. Lord, in the suffering, this is our prayer, bread for the children. Justice, joy, peace, sunrise to sunset, your kingdom increase. Shelter for fragile lives, cures for their ills. Work for the craftsmen, trade for their skills. Land for the dispossessed, rights for the weak. Voices to plead the cause for those who can't speak. Refuge from cruel wars. Havens from fear. Cities for sanctuary, freedoms to share, peace to the killing fields, scorched earth to green, Christ for the bitterness, his cross for the pain, rest for the ravaged earth, oceans and streams, plundered and poisoned, our future, our dreams. Lord, end our madness, carelessness, greed. Make us content with the things that we need. Lighten our darkness, Lord. Breathe on this flame until your justice burns brightly again. Until the nations learn of your ways and seek your salvation and bring you their praise. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts. Let tears fall like rain. Come, change our love from a spark to a flame. Amen.
Amen.
Father, as we go out into the world, out into a new week, we just ask for your blessing on ourselves, on our families, on those that we love. And may we be your faithful servants as we seek to bring your word into this world that you've created. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.